Techno Progressivo. You are listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver.
Welcome to Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh, and you're listening to 101.9 CITR here in Vancouver. I'm proud to work and live on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. We'll be checking out some great local talent in an interview feature on tap for you this evening with Vancouver's Shane Patrick Riley. And we will get to that shortly, but first let's check out this episode's track of the week. It's Martin Eichen and Winnyama with Control It.
Inside my mind. Control it now, it's making me hot. It started working from the bottom to top. I can't control it. I can't control it. I can't control it. Control it now, my body won't stop.
Okay, a nice track of the week on offer there. Martin Eichen teams up with Winnyama to give you Control It. That's out now on Tool Room and can be had wherever you buy your tracks. On to the feature for tonight's episode. Shane Patrick Riley is a mainstay of the local scene and has produced some excellent tracks showcasing his unique brand of house music. I was fortunate to be able to interview him a few weeks back. Here we talk production, DJing, and where he plans to take this going forward. I split the interview into two parts. The first half offers a selection of his tracks that can be found at your favorite online retailer. And the second part is all upfront, unreleased tracks, his new direction. The lead track here is called Keep It Simple, and full track list and a selection of Shane Patrick Riley weblinks can be found on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. This is DJ Waugh speaking to Vancouver-based DJ and producer Shane Patrick Riley. He's had a number of releases over the past decade on labels like Black Hole Recordings, Uprise, Bunny Tiger, and Shepherd Records, just to name a few. He's DJed across Western Canada, including regular gigs at Gorgamish and celebrities here in Vancouver. It's my pleasure to be speaking to him. This is Shane Patrick Riley. So kicking things off here, how do you define your sound?
For my sound, it's definitely evolved since I've started producing. I've kind of been dabbling in basically every genre that ever existed, but currently I'm trying to actually focus on like a kind of progressive sound, which is actually the sound I started off when I first started producing. But I'm just trying a few new things. I haven't really released anything yet that kind of highlights the sound I'm going for, but I've got some stuff in the works.
okay for you? Is there anything about growing up in BC and life on the West Coast that's inspired you to make the kind of music that you make?
The West Coast scene is very strong. I know there's lots of good talent that has come out of Vancouver and just BC in general, and even some upcoming talent too. So I feel like the scene is very strong here, very supportive. That's definitely helped me with my music and my like creative journey. So it's definitely a big part of it.
And then what was your experience of trying to build up your reputation and establish yourself as a DJ and a producer in Vancouver? Like, did it come to you easily or was it challenging in ways?
It had its moments. It was kind of a combination of both. I did a lot up north with one of my good friends. We used to put on a lot of shows and we brought up DJs. And so we kind of had some, we're familiar with some of the like key players in the scene. And so we were able to connect and network that way. But just basically being involved, kind of get to know people. And it definitely, if you want to play like the local scene and play gigs and stuff, it's mostly networking.
Okay, let's focus on production here. When you are making tracks, which DAW do you work with and why?
I use Ableton Live. It's basically like the first one I've used, but I've dabbled in like everything, and I find that Ableton is just more easy to do things. It's very straightforward. You're not having to like do a bunch of stuff to like manipulate samples. It's just like a click and drag and drop kind of thing. So that to me has just been like, if something is hard, it takes a lot of time to do. I feel like that kind of hinders your creative ability. You just want to get things quick and easy to test out. So Ableton to me has has always been the easiest to do, like manipulation and samples. And
okay, you mentioned the sampler there. When you are using Ableton, are you typically using their stock VSTs, or do you like to bring a lot of external things in as well?
It's a bit of a combination. I do have, like, I'm kind of guilty for buying, like, back in the day, I used to buy like the latest VST and gear and whatnot. But recently, I've just basically stick to the general, like, stock plugins. Maybe for like a reverb or something, I'll have something I'm a little more expensive that sounds a bit better. But I feel like Ableton, you can get like 90% of what you want to achieve with just using what's there. So if it's easy, just try to make it as easy as possible. I feel like if you're trying to do too much tinkering, the sample has to change or it's not quite fitting.
Okay, where does your inspiration come from? When you're making tracks, do you hear melodies and leads and things like that in your head ahead of time and then try to replicate that at the computer? Or do you just sit down at the computer and play around and see what that leads to?
Yeah, I would say the majority of time is just mucking around and just finding a sound that kind of clicks. I find that I do a lot of digging, and if I hear something, I can kind of I do hear like a melody in my head, and then I can kind of go to the computer and figure it out. But I generally don't just sit there and it have like an idea pop up. It's like I find something first, and then I'm like, oh, okay, this works. We'll be right back.
This is Naz.
This is Dave from Yoluka.
This is Sam Wolf.
Hi, this is Glenn Morrison.
Hey, this is Steve from Fort Knox 5, and you're listening to DJ Wah on Techno Progressivo.
Okay, let's look back to the very beginning of production for you. Was there some element to the whole process that you found particularly challenging that you needed to navigate before you were able to release tracks with that professional polish on them?
Mixing is probably the biggest hurdle for any producer, I would find. It's like today, I think it's really easy to like learn how to mix properly with all the resources. But when I was originally doing it, like I had no idea what I was doing. And even to this day, I still struggle with that. I feel like you can outsource it, which helps. I find sometimes that a lot of the mixing is part of the creative sound that you make. So it's kind of hard in that sense. But I still struggle to this day making something that is mixed and polished.
Welcome home!
Okay, let's shift over to DJing here. Maybe this is a challenging question, but what makes your set stand out?
I find that this is something I've actually really been focusing on my DJ sets within the past year or so, is I'm trying to build a DJ set like with a sort of energy, kind of like telling a story. You kind of build the momentum, build the energy so that you have peaks of like memorable tracks. I find that if you just do like banger after banger, people kind of get ear fatigued from it, and there's like, it's just kind of the same thing. It's just constant. If you dip, like if you have a set that builds to like a peak moment and you play those like banger tracks, they really shine much better than if you were to just consistently play like an entire set that way. So I feel like if you can just build like a kind of like a story and a journey for an audience, you'll get a better reaction than if you just go guns blazing.
Okay, what's your DJ setup of choice? Are you CDJs with Rekordbox, Traktor, etc.? Which technology do you like and why?
CDJs. I just kind of plug in and play. I actually I've never owned any sort of DJ equipment. I've had producer equipment, but part of that is just it's expensive, and I just basically whatever's easiest, just Rekordbox, put in my tracks, show up to the gig. I've played everything. I've played Traktor. I've played vinyl. I've tried it all, but generally just the industry standard now is just CDJs, and it's just so much easier. So
okay, and then going back to the beginning, did you never own any of this technology, and if so, how did you end up learning your craft?
Yeah, I was lucky enough to have friends that kind of I would practice on, but there used to be this like weekly Thursday night gig at one of the bars when I lived up north, and when I was just getting into the scene, like my practice was in front of an audience, and I would train wreck so hard. But it was like, you gotta learn fast, otherwise like it's embarrassing. But it was kind of just in like the moment, on the spot, just here we go. We'll be right back.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke weed every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or f with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theatre, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theatre, visit their website at www.riotheatre.ca.
You are listening to the Shane Patrick Riley interview here on Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Wah, and the station is 101.9 CITR. That half of the interview wrapped up with his remix of Daft Punk's Stronger. Full track list and a selection of Shane Patrick Riley web links can be found on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Part 2 is all unreleased promos, a nice pure proggy sound that I'm really liking. The first one up is Renaissance. Okay, let's keep looking at how you program your sets. Do you have some idea what you're going to play in advance, or are you content just to watch what's happening on the dance floor and play to that?
Yeah, it's kind of a combination. I have my record box. I have it organized. I think that's quite important just to have like energy levels. I still think it's really important to play to the crowd as a DJ. That's basically your job. Don't just go in there with something totally like programmed or like have a set that you have an idea for, but like definitely play off the crowd. I have like generally like an idea, kind of like a framework that I would work with that does change all the time. But just with organization, I can kind of pick tracks that would fit kind of the vibe, the current like night or whatnot. And I also have different variety. So I'm like, I played sets where like, I was going to go in for like a more progressive sound and the crowd was just not feeling it. So I straight up had to go to like house and more like fun kind of stuff. So you still have to DJ, but like if I am playing like a bigger show or like a like niche environment that I know that likes that sound, then I can kind of follow more of a kind of set kind of playlist or set that I'm planning to play.
Okay, carrying on with this theme, when you are DJing, are you a two deck guy, a four deck guy? Do you like to bring in stems and acapellas when you're playing? What do you like to do?
Not so much. I mean, I think that's really awesome if you can do that. But part of me is just the lack of equipment that I have at home to practice with that and try to like be creative with it. One thing I have done though is I have made my own like edits with vocals. So I'll take like a vocal track and put it over a different track where I've made my own. And that kind of works in the same kind of way. So I'm kind of doing that on the production side. But the live playing out, being using acapellas and stems, generally, no, I don't.
Okay, let's look back on the gigs you've done. Have there been any standouts, clubs, events, things like that, that you never thought you were going to play that you were suddenly playing at, and what made them stand out?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very grateful for being able to play some of the bigger clubs in Vancouver. That was kind of like, as a beginning producer and DJ, it was like, whoa, like that's be amazing to play these. And I've played them now. And it, so that to me was kind of like an achievement. And just being able to kind of be recognized for some of the festivals, being able to play all over has been quite nice as well. But I think that like sometimes even these smaller gigs, like I've played this one tiny bar and it was just packed with people that were just like there just for the music. And some of those moments are better than the big shows because more intimate, and it's just like a vibe, you know, you get those kind of experiences.
Okay, let's look at your body of work. Can you think of a handful of tracks that you've made that have really stood out for you as your pinnacle of production, and what makes them so elite?
I did a kind of like a bootleg of Daft Punk. The track is Stronger. It was kind of before like all the remixy stuff was big in tech house, and I made like a Daft Punk one, and it was just kind of like for fun. It got picked up by artists such as like West End, and he played it out for like almost 2 years, like every show, and he dropped it at EDC Las Vegas, which to me was like amazing because I remember going there back in like 2013 and being like, one day I'm gonna have my song played on these speakers. And it happened, and I was just like, whoa, like it kind of made full circle. I'm quite like grateful for that. For most of my tunes, I mean, like they're kind of unpredictable. Some have been picked up by other artists, like James Hype played some random tune of mine quite a bit. That was pretty cool. Personally, I don't really have any like particular tune that I'm like, oh, this is what I'm super proud of, because most of my music that I make, I'm pretty critical and I'm like, this is garbage. So I generally just let the audience, if they like it, then I'm like, oh, it resonates with people, and I let them decide.
This is Kill Frenzy.
Hey, this is Yaddo.
This is Charlie Johansson.
Hey, this is Prince Flip.
Hi, this is James Avila, and you're listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR.
Okay, let's gaze into the crystal ball here for the future. You've mentioned wanting to revise your DJ sets a little bit. With that in mind and production in mind, where do you want to continue to take this as you go forward?
A goal of mine would be able to play a set that's majority of my music. It's kind of slow at the moment. I have to make a bunch of music for that to happen, but I would really like to be an artist that is playing me, like my music, as opposed to just having one or two tracks slipped in a set that's from me. I would love to just be able to have like opening tracks that kind of build up momentum to like high peak tracks, kind of what I was talking about, and having it be like 80% me. That's kind of like what I've been focusing to evolve to.
Okay, and the sound that you're going for here, what are the comparables? Is it like an Anjuna Deep kind of thing? What are you aiming to do?
I would say, yeah, like not totally Anjuna Deep. It's definitely a progressive sound. I don't really know how to explain it, because I'm not trying to be a particular sound. What I'm actually trying to do is kind of find something that's unique. So it's definitely in that realm of like the Anjuna Deep, like true progressive house. I guess you could say maybe like Eric Prydz and like Olander and that kind of style, more so. Yeah, I would love to just like figure out something maybe a little bit different, just so that it's not something like, I would love to have something that's more unique to me.
Okay, and then final question for you here, is there anything that you'd like to promote right now?
At the moment, no. I've kind of just taken a step back, just taking a little breather and getting back into it. But I do have quite a bit of new music that I'm going to be releasing soon that it will be more of kind of like the sound that I've evolved to. So when that comes, then yeah, basically stay tuned is all I want to promote.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder Magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
We are all done for another episode of Techno Progressivo. Thank you so much to Shane Patrick Riley for agreeing to interview. I've said it before, and I am going to say it again. The local and Western Canadian scene are thriving right now. There's some great underground music being produced, and it would benefit you to get out and see these artists live. Shane Patrick Riley's track Freakers closed out the interview. Full track list and a selection of his web links can be found at Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Head over there to find out more about the mind behind the music. If you've enjoyed the show and want to hear it again, visit the Techno Progressivo our show page at CITR.ca or Apple Podcasts to give this one another spin or to hear more great guest mixes and interviews from days gone by. Keep up to date with Techno Progressivo. Follow our socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and SoundCloud. Attic Jams is up next on the station. Stick around to see what they've got in store for you tonight. Before we go, let's do as we always do and set the controls in the time machine for this episode's track from the past. For this one, we're going to hop back 15 years in time to 2009 to showcase some Big Room House. Ida Engberg and David West get remixed by Tiger Stripe. This is called Super Cluster. Enjoy it, and I'll see you back here next time.